I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. Big Dave, how you doing, big guy?
I'm doing good.
You're not doing good. You're lying? You're lying to our audience?
I'm not doing bad.
The Super Millennial's had some dental work done. So he is sitting in front of me right now with a swollen mouth and cotton in his mouth and stuff. But the warrior that he is here for all you listeners to give his very intellectual, very spiritual, very connected, cooperation, millennial perspective. Thank you, David. Let me give you a little clap.
Hey, I'm here. That's all that matters, right?
That's it. Because I would never harass you when you're down. It's not what we do in our family. We don't put the boots to you when you're down, right?
No, that's what we do to each other.
That's it. So this week, our topic is unity. And today's Health Huddles, we're going to discuss the unity in health, and we're going to talk about the cognitive bias and stress. So unity is defined as being one with something. Unity of health is a connection between mind, body, and spirit. Without this unity, the human being becomes diseased. Unity of health begins with the core essence of stress mastery, understanding the function and operation of the human being, and using this understanding to create a reality of what you desire. So let's explore this for a moment. Number one, every human being goes through stages of development as a child. This sets the programmed identity in mind. It is this programming that drives your behavior in routine. It is this programming that sets your world, your reality, your shoulds. This programmed identity is your ego. It is held in the subconscious mind of the cage mind, and this sets your reality through the filter of your belief systems, and your behavior, actions are driven from this mind. You understand, correct?
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, the human brain. The brain is set to work in a very specific hierarchy to support the mind, and it supports the mind and the programs held in mind. The brain uses the mind's programs in cognitive bias. And what this does is it locks you in the limbic brain. We're talking on health huddles. The key of health is to be able to move out of the limbic brain into the cortex, out of the red zone, sympathetic nervous system, into parasympathetic system, green zone. So cognitive bias is your systematic thought process caused by the tendency of the human brain to simplify information. It's processing information through a filter of personal experience, which are the programs held in mind. This keeps your ego in charge, only paying attention to really whatever conforms to your beliefs, opinions, and identity. This creates bias of the objective reality. And if your subjective reality doesn't match what you are holding in mind, your identity, to objective reality, it sets your state in event, which is the objective reality. Judgment, the objective reality is wrong. Reaction, you defend and attack and impose your will. This is attempting to make your subjective reality into the objective reality of what you want. You understand that part, right?
Yeah.
So we have the mind programmed through, number one, programmed through the stages of development. We have the way the brain activates. And then number three, we have the body. Mm-hmm. And the body in the human being supports the mind. If your mind is stuck in the red zone, state of restriction, base energy fear, the body loses unity of well-being. This unity of well-being is the unity and connection of the three brains. head brain, heart brain, and gut brain. When the brain is stuck in the red zone, in the red zone state, in the limbic brain, red zone stress energies, the body supports the mind by ramping the stress response up. And what happens in your physiology, you shut down the gut brain, which shuts down the hormone connections to wellness, shutting down digestion, shutting down fat burning. And if the body stays in this alarm system of the human construct, it loses its unity of recuperation system. And we will fail to repair and move into the natural rhythm of stasis. So do you understand this so far, David? We're just talking about the process of being a human being.
Yeah, I think most people don't understand the connection within the body of being human, because people always try to dissect things and make them separate. And it's never, ever that case. And we always try to separate it.
And that's unity, right? We're talking about unity. This is the unity of health. You can't separate it. So to create any type of well-being and health, you must understand the Homo sapien. And there are five elements of optimal health. And these are the pieces of the unity of health. Number one is sleep. Number two is water. Number three is green focused mind. Number four is diet. And number five is exercise. And they are exactly in that specific order. See, as a human being, number one, you have to sleep. If you don't sleep properly, you cannot repair and recuperate. You can't have optimal health. Number two, we have to be hydrated as human beings. If not, your nervous system gets stuck in the sympathetic nervous system, limbic brain, and the body again is stressed out. We have to make sure we drink enough water and we're hydrated. And number three, green focused mind. See, you can have the most perfect lifestyle program, diet, exercise in the world, and it doesn't matter if your mind is stuck in the red zone, because your body's going to support the mind. That's why it's number three. And then number four is diet. Why is number four diet? Because you can exercise all you want. If your diet's not right, you also will just continue to stress the body out. Because number five is exercise. That you can't have one of those elements missing, but they also work in that order. So I don't think anybody's ever talked this way on wellness before, Dave, but this is the truth, which means it has to be true for every human being on the planet, of what it takes to attain optimal health.
Yeah, this was one of the more life-changing lessons that I learned through last year's transformation, because I knew diet, I knew exercise, but I wondered why the hell I couldn't make results. My sleep is crap. And everybody, you can go back to the episodes where you were making jokes. Did you drink your water today? Did you drink your water today? I wasn't. And I wasn't sleeping. I was getting 2, 3, 4 hours of sleep. Now it's like mandatory. The water, all that stuff goes down, because there's no point of putting in the hard work if you're not going to get anything from it without doing the steps necessary before it.
And it's creating that awareness. Not only did you create the awareness, you created the experience. So you learn how to look at your sleep. You learn how to look at your data. You learn how to look at the HRV. You learn how to, you know, and then you that whole process that you went through created these experiences, which created the new self-authored health program. Mm-hmm. You have to write your script. So as I've mentioned in 1600 plus episodes, we cannot stop conflict. We cannot stop stress because of how our brain operates. One, the brain will go negative before positive, always. Always know that. It's going to go red before it goes green. Two, the brain has a built-in radar system. This radar system is the amygdala, and it's scanning your environment for any contradictions to what you're holding in mind, or any distractions, or anything that interferes with what you have in expectation in your head. And number three, the brain is designed to be efficient. These are why we hold programs. The programs in mind drive our behavior so we don't have to think. The brain is literally a glucose hog. So our bodies have two sources of energy, sugar and fat. We are very efficient at storing fat. We are very inefficient at storing sugar. We hold small supplies. The brain has to have sugar. It uses all your sugar. And so for the brain to conserve energy, it creates shortcuts. And so to conserve energy, the brain drives behavior without thought. So think about when you had to learn how to drive a stick car. How many things you got to think about? Think about, oh my God, this and this and this. And then eventually you could do it with your eyes closed, right? Yeah. Even watching a little child learn how to tie his shoes. It's such a struggle. If we had to struggle that way with everything we did, we would never have any energy for us to live life. So what happened? The brain created shortcuts. And this creates what are called cognitive biases. So cognitive bias at their core is our brain's attempt to be efficient and make decisions quickly. These programs are mental shortcuts. And while these mental shortcuts are designed to make our brains more efficient, in most people, they create systematic errors in our thinking, in our behavior. Because these shortcuts are programs that were set for you. And the brain is reacting to our perception, our beliefs, and our past experiences. So the brain operates in subjective reality versus what is truly happening in objective reality. And the brain reacts off the mind, and the body supports what is held in mind. And this drives your behavior into reality that you see through your set programs, which sets your filter of perception, and you make decisions based off these filters, yet your filters are not factual. They are held in bias. Are you with me? I know I covered a lot. I'm trying to make it so you don't have to talk too much today, but I hope I'm not running on too much. Please tell me if I need to explain something, if you understood all that.
No, it makes sense. Makes sense completely.
So these biases will lead you to avoid information that you don't like or don't want to see. This is perceptual blindness and the deaf effect. Information that would change your life, that could absolutely shift your relationships, that could actually make you more money, you don't even see them. Why? Because you're in bias. Your thoughts, David.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting because that it affects the smallest things to the biggest things. And I think one of the bigger ones that like that was simple for me over the last year was I was always a big guy. So there's companies I'd never look to buy clothes. So I ignore every single ad. I ignore everything. One day I end up buying something from it. And it's like I unlocked a whole new, you know, industry of clothing I could buy because my initial thing is filter this out. Those are for little guys. Like, I don't fit that. You know, once I realized, oh, you can, and that's how it is with everything else. Once you realize that, oh, this isn't a block. This is actually, it's like it's unlocking a new world to something. So if it goes down to something as clothing, because you ignore it because, oh, that's not me. That's not who I am. And you're like, oh, it is. It's the same thing with like diet or the training or the exercise or the business, the relationships, everything. It's like unlocking that part of your brain that you've I can't even say it with the thing.
I know. I understand. Well, it's
you push it away to that dark corner because you're like, that doesn't involve me.
Yep. It's a bias. It's cognitive bias. It's what actually causes people to sabotage your self-improvement. Cognitive bias is what causes you to become stressed out, stuck in a state of restriction, based energy fear. In those red zone energies, cognitive biases drives your behavior and what you experience. And this is important. This behavior is unconscious. You're not aware of it. And so awareness of cognitive bias is very important if you're looking to create a shift or change in your reality in your life. And this begins with step 3 of stress mastery, name the ego. That's the first step, is name the ego, because then you can see what's going on in your head and that inner critic and the dialogue telling you you can't or you shouldn't. You know, you will see it. So you name the ego. The next step is you step back and observe your routine. Your current life situation has been built through your routines. You do these things automatically and unconsciously. Now, what are some signs that you may be stuck in cognitive bias, which means the ego is controlling the cage mind? These are a few signs. Do you only follow news outlets or stories that confirm your opinions? This also will relate to those you follow, your social media, your tribe, those you live with, and those you hang out with. Do you only follow those outlets that confirm your opinions, right? If you do, you're stuck in cognitive bias. And we see it all the time. It's easy to do that because this is my tribe. Now, do you attribute other people's success as luck or that they get everything handed to them? But you take your personal credit for your own accomplishments, not seeing that there were others that helped you get there or maybe your own lucky breaks, right? Cognitive bias. Next one. Do you constantly blame others or outside factors if things don't go your way? Do you find yourself in defend and attack mode? Cognitive bias. And do you assume you are always right? You're always correct. Do you have to defend yourself without looking at another's perspective? Do you hold those who disagree with you in resentment? This could be family or an influencer or even a politician or an entire religion. It can even be your culture, your generation. Do you assume everyone else shares your same beliefs, your same reality, your same opinions? And so you can see what we mean by cognitive bias. It is locking you in to a identity and a routine and the same subjective reality day in and day out. And when it comes to our health, the third element of optimal health comes before diet and exercise because the body supports the mind. It is your green focus mind. If you are stuck in the red zone mind, you are in a state of restriction, base energy, fear, and you will have your brain stuck in survival brain of the limbic brain, keeping the body stuck in fight or flight. This is preventing the unity of wellness. Mm-hmm. So you have any feedback on those things?
Yeah, I think the crossing it off and not even paying attention to it part is the big thing, because I talk about awareness all the time. In the beginning, before you kind of cross it off, you have the awareness that you're crossing it off, you know, and then it becomes kind of a skill that you don't even acknowledge these things anymore. Like for me, the sleep in the beginning was a big thing when it came to like health. And then the less I slept because I wanted to hang out with friends, the more I ignored it. And the more I ignored it, and the more I ignored it. And I think that comes along with anything else. In the beginning, you have awareness that you're not paying attention to it. And then it just becomes that second nature of where it's almost filtered out, the blinders are on, and you don't even notice it anymore. The awareness of that is completely gone.
Yep. Very good. Get it
back again.
And so we're doing this, health huddles is a little different, right? Because we're focused on the green focused mind, the third element. But there, it's important to understand, because if you can't move the mind, you're not going to change your health. So there are different types of cognitive bias. So let's talk about these different types. One, confirmation bias. This is self-serving bias to look for information that confirms what you already believe and ignore anything that goes against those beliefs. Now, a lot of very intelligent people get stuck in this, like doctors and teachers and a lot of those who attain success and a lot in the wellness world. Confirmation bias keeps them stuck in what they've learned. If you're practicing as a wellness professional the same practices you did 10 years ago, you're stuck in confirmation bias. Obviously, things have changed, right? You can see how our programs have changed from the clinic. Right? Yeah. Why? Because science is changing. We learn more, right? So you understand confirmation bias?
Yeah.
Number two is anchoring bias. This is bias that locks you into the first piece of information you receive. This locks in the deaf effect and you go into perceptual blindness. Now you're not allowing, it doesn't allow you to look for further further pieces of information, and it stops you from looking further into something. So you can see your anchored bias. First piece of information, oh, that's what it is. You understand that one? Stop me if you have any, want to hit any comments here. I'm trying to, make Aceto talk too much because it is kind of funny to hear you talk, but I don't want to humor myself too much. Number three, evil. In-group bias. This bias locks you in the want to belong. You support or believe in those who are in your social group while going into deaf effect to any group outside. We actually see this in sports teams. So if I meet a Packer fan, I know he's a good guy. He's a Packer fan, right? I know it for a fact. He's a good guy because he's a Packer fan, right? Schools you attended. Oh, you went to Harvard. Oh, man, you're special. You got to be one of the smartest people in the room, right? Religions, political groups. We like them or hate them automatically. That is in-group bias. Do you understand that one?
Oh, yeah.
Number four, actor-observer bias. This is the belief that we behave or act because of a situation, but believe others act because of a stable trait, such as personality. Let me explain. Let's say someone cuts you off in traffic. You decide they are rude, a terrible person, an idiot. But if you happen to cut someone off in traffic, you believe it's because of the situation. Oh, you're running late. Or it was an error on your part because you didn't see the other driver. See, we see our behavior in awareness, but when it happens to us, we see the other's behavior in judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For anything? Sure. You want to say anything on that one?
It is funny. I call Vanessa out on this one all the time. Because she was like, man, look at this guy. I was like, you don't know what he's going through. She was like, he's probably in the car saying the same thing to you. And he's like, oh, man. And it's crazy because when she does it, I said, should I yell at you for that?
Yes, see? And that's exactly like, what it is. Sure. Number five, hindsight bias. This refers to our tendency to perceive events as more predictable after they happened. This is your Monday morning quarterback, right? This is when you see an outcome and an event completed and feel, I knew this would happen all along, or I would have done it this way. I knew he was wrong. You see it like that. A lot of people talking about that hit in the Chiefs Bengals game. I should have stopped. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that's hindsight bias. We hear about that all the time. People always know in hindsight exactly what you should have done. Yeah. You know that one too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here's one for millennials. The halo effect. This is a huge bias effect in today's new information society, especially with social media. The halo effect refers to our tendency to allow our impression of others in one area to influence our overall impression of them. If it's reported that this influencer you love or a celebrity you may have admired has broken the law, the halo effect will cause us to believe the report is false. So our behavior moves into defend and attack of that person. The halo effect. That can't be. They're a good guy. They're good people. I know we laugh at it, but think about that.
Yeah.
How many times?
My favorite thing is to go into the comments is because you'll see the people who support them, even if they're dead wrong. I mean, if there's without a shadow of a doubt, you know, been proven wrong or whatever, the people who are set on them will defend them in the comments, and to see the bickering back and forth war going on in the comment section is insane. And that's the best place to see the example of this.
Yes. It's funny. You know, you see it because we do it, you know, you gotta be careful if you catch yourself. Number seven, self-serving bias. This is the tendency to claim success for successes, but we fail to claim our failures. We blame others and external forces when bad things happen, but give all our self-credit for the good. So, you know, people like that too, right? It's that self-serving. It's like, yeah, I'm great. Look at everything I did, but that's why that didn't work, because of her or him or them or that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's negativity. Number eight, negativity bias. This is when you believe negative forces are stronger than you. In this bias, get stuck and you will focus on negative, not the positive or neutral of something. This could be a bad review. Let's say we have all these reviews, right? And you get one bad review, and what do? You just focus on the bad review. Oh, David, I can't believe they said this. There's like hundreds and hundreds of reviews. Happens, you know, that is when you're stuck in negativity bias, right? Or it could be a negative comment from somebody. Here, everything's gone well and everything else, and the one person said something. Or you have a bad event in your life, and you stay in that negative event no matter what else is going on. You're stuck in a negative story and bias. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, that's such a skill, because like in the beginning of the podcast, I focused on that so much. And then I started to realize that, you know, you don't worry about it afterwards. I mean, it really doesn't affect you, but you have like a hyper awareness to the negativity when you're focused on solely just that. And like I said, again, it's the blinders to everything else, the accomplishments, the achievements, the accolades, I mean, your own growth, all that goes to the bayside just because somebody had an opinion that was negative. And it's not even facts. It's just an opinion.
Yes. And that's because the brain locks in.
Yeah.
And that's what a bias is. Yeah, it's locking you in.
It stays.
And you're stuck in that, and you can't appreciate all the good around you because you can't see it. Yeah. When you're stuck in negative bias, you are stuck in a red zone. You aren't seeing anything good. You can't see it. It's not in, you have perceptual blindness. And number nine, attentional bias. This is when you get locked into a focus that keeps your attention in a single perception. This focus will seek confirmation. So let's say you buy a new car. You'll look around and it seems like everybody's bought that car.
Yeah.
You'll see everybody with that car. Everybody will be driving that car. You know, it before you wouldn't see that, but you're locked into that, and then you'll see that. Now, the challenge is an attentional bias. If you get locked into something really negative, you're going to keep seeing the negative. The negative is going to keep you showing up, and the negative is going to keep going all around you. So that's what happens. You are stuck in a focus. Mm-hmm. So you've done that, right? You've got a car, or you got your new car and you're driving it. And also you see, oh, there's a Corvette. There's another Corvette. There's another Corvette. Holy crap. It must've had a sale in Corvettes. Cause I see his Corvettes.
It's interesting that they do that in video games to increase like the realism of it. So if you're driving a certain car or have something, it's everywhere. It's funny because like it's reality, but you just think it's like, oh, they're doing that because of a reason. Because it happens on a day-to-day basis, we actually perceive it, so they change the coding for the game to do what we normally would see in reality. It's pretty interesting to see.
Gotta love that, right? They understand the human. They understand the core essence of stress mastery, right? So, number 10, overconfidence bias. This is an interesting one. You would assume that this is good, right? If you are the person who believes you could do anything, you would think that would be good. Yeah. Actually, this could be a huge roadblock, because when you believe you could do anything, you fail to look at and seek out your weaknesses. Overconfidence bias is the pendulum to imposter syndrome. So I can tell you, I'm very good at what I do, but make no mistake about it, I also know what I'm not good at. And that's just a fact. If you don't know that, then you will have issues, because you've got to look at your weaknesses. And listen, you only have so much energy, so much focus to climb your mountain. You can't make all your weaknesses strengths. You got to bring others into your life. And we talk about, you know, we're going to talk to tomorrow on competition cooperation. That's cooperation. You got to bring other people in. You're never going to be the best at every single aspect of what you're trying to do. You got to be the best at what you do, connected to your purpose, and that allows you to bring others in. If you can't see that, then, well, you will get blindsided, trust me. So those are some different biases. So if you the whole purpose of this show today is, if you're looking to move your health, the life category of health, into stage four self-authored mind and create your optimal health, the green focus mind is essential. You're not going to do it without that. That's why you have to understand. You have to understand everything that we're teaching, because you can't have one aspect and think, well, I'm on a diet, I'm going to be healthy. I'm working out, I'm going to be healthy. You know, it's not, you're not. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys that. If you're honest with yourself, you'll see. You will see it for yourself. I don't have to tell you guys that. So I will tell you this, Dave, in a Stress Master community, I will continue this conversation on cognitive bias, and I will post some further tips in there. Do you have any questions or feedback on what we're talking about today and what we're talking about, how we get stuck in that limbic brain red zone?
Yeah, the one thing I think was a huge one, I think that falls for millennials and probably like the younger generation, because we're growing up with YouTube and Google, so we think we know everything. But what was the last one about the where you think you can do everything? I don't remember.
The overconfidence bias.
I think that one is one of the most hindering things for a student, especially. That's what I mean for like the younger generation coming up, because you refuse to take feedback, criticism, things like that, because I got this. And I think that's such a hard thing to do, because I could do anything. You can. And I honestly think pretty much everybody put their mind to it, but when you don't accept criticism or feedback because you think you got it already, like I'm that person, I think it really slows you down on the possibility of you actually being able to be good at something. So instead of it being a mindset turned reality, it stays as a mindset, because you think instead of learning and gathering information.
What do you think of the confirmation bias in the younger generation? You mean that? Because we can Google and get confirmation for anything we believe in. You will find something that agrees with you. And because there's just so much information out there that eventually you'll find, oh, this is the belief. Look, Bill, this is what it is. See, this is what carbs do. This is why carbs are bad. You know, well,
I think that one is the one that will follow along with that one, is because I honestly think that one, you'll find the side that you're looking for no matter what. So if I want to tell you right now that doing any kind of drug is good for me, I'm pretty sure I could Google it and find some to study, even though we know it's bad. Or I guarantee something somewhere online that says smoking is still good for you. We already know this. It's proven. But if that's what you want to believe, you'll find enough evidence to back that up. And I think that's what happens with most people, is that they think it works for them, so they Google it. Oh, somebody said yes. So they stick with it. And then the moment an expert, sure, like a real expert, like that was a thing going to like Dr. Brian. I had a lot of knowledge that I thought worked for me, and I had to kind of put that aside because I talked to the expert who was confirming something different. And that was a different confirmation that I had to either accept or ignore because of my own bias from the beginning. And I think that's a big part of being coachable is, yeah, those confirmation bias are kind of important when you find the right information. Like we know, like getting those things, sleep's important, things like that. Lock your teeth into those things, but have it backed with information, science, and truth. Rather,
I think you've got to have experience, right? You've got to go through things. So when you get in confirmation bias, you are not ready to listen because you're in deaf effect. You're not willing to learn because you're in perceptual blindness. You're in your belief system. And so you're not able to do, which means you can't change. You can't know anything because you know it already. So how are you going to learn anything? Because you won't do anything because you're not in shift state.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying for this episode is the blinders is what screws everyone up, because I do think that being focused is great, but being focused on stuff that you're unaware of, unexperienced in, and don't have the knowledge of, but you think, people think too much. I think that's the problem.
And that thinker is a stinker. His name is your ego. That's it for today's show. Is that QWERTY? It was a little QWERTY? Little Cordy, right? This mission is greatest shift to the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.